There's a lot of found text in the book. You've referenced the court transcripts, borehole planning documents, even a rush transcript of an interview that includes the phrase yellow dildo ports.
Yes.
I mean, first of all, how do you decide how much of that material to put in the book? What feels right?
I know, exactly. Well, it was definitely a trial and error and a push and a pull, as it were. So it's sort of structurally, the book has, you know, the found document related to the blockade of the pipeline, and that's the resources going out. And then the second big part, I guess, is the blockade of the port, which happened back in 2011, the commodities going in. And there's the problematic of an economy like Canada's. We don't have industry here, really. This is not an industrial country. For the most part, we are a resource country. We produce resources, sell those raw resources out into the world, and then we purchase the commodities. And that's a hard to sustain economic model. And that's the same model that a lot of former colonies have. Not the U.S. because it is an industrial powerhouse, although it's, you know, shifting all the time as the manufacturing goes to China. But, you know, that's,
and as we elect pathological narcissists, codillos.
Exactly. You know, but Canada's economy is basically on the exact same model as, say, Ecuador or Colombia or these kind of, you know, quote, banana republics. That's what Canada is. It's just a place resources are got from and taken elsewhere.
It's more of a maple syrup
republic. Yeah, but exactly. Maple syrup republic. That's what it is. So, you know, those two things structure the book. Resources out, commodities in. Here's two found texts and a bunch of poetry messing around behind them. So that document, I literally did like a half hour live CBC radio interview from the blockade, which was hilarious because they interviewed me for a bit. Then they took calls from callers to the radio and got me to respond to the callers. But they were hilarious. Like, the callers were calling and saying, "Those hippies should get a haircut and go get a job." And they go, "Stephen, do you have a response to that?" How can you respond to that?
So it was, your hair is rather short.
Exactly. I have a job, but, you know, might not look that way. So whatever, that'll happen. But I just happened to stumble upon that document online, literally on the internet, saying this is a raw machine transcript of this interview from this date and time. And I'm like, oh, that's my interview. And I'm looking at it, and it's, you've read it, and you're quoting from it right there. It's a jumbled mess. 99% of it is nothing I said. Uh-huh. I don't quite know how. And I showed it to my brother, and he's like, oh, that's how bad artificial intelligence still is, I guess. It was not doing a good job of understanding what I was saying. But when you think about that document, so not only is that my voice and my words being misremembered and misrecorded, but it's also the voices of all those callers who called in. And a labor leader who was also a bit of interviewed at one point, and it's this crazy collage.
They get the phone numbers right, though.
Yeah. So that's what's in the book is most of it. I'd say that's probably 90% of it. Uh-huh. I just went, okay, it's a bit long at however many pages it was, and I thought I'm going to cut a couple pages out of it just to make it a teeny bit shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I did.
You got to read some of it.
Yeah. Should I? Yeah, I can read the beginning of it, which is the
up to if you can read up to the yellow dildo.
Well, that's often the part I sample.
Yeah. Well, I remember you reading that.
Yeah.
At Cascadia, I think.
Right? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Maybe I did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the punchline in some ways at the beginning of this thing. Yeah, it's not easy to read because it completely lacks syntax.
I get it.
Here we go. With us right now is Stephen Colosseum, is with Occupied Vancouver at the rally right now. Welcome to Resume and Active, and what's happening right now where you are, or order start gathering crowd before arriving in Hartford. The drive there is so much stress during the organ writing tradition and mobilized to where what would you be plenty to do, but will you share their personal blog for your purists or where we are going to march, and are you hope to stop traffic when you get there? What's the plan for think I go to word you used, and interesting registration of God disrupts traffic. Is the right word what you noted earlier about briefly describe the parking entrance and what you see here? Vancouver is a rolling temporary disruptions. What are you charging ports? Just like three regarding on the refer them for service to organizing solidarity with our American brothers and sisters. Called for action and down the coast on the lumen of the global movement is only a global movement if people in other countries work in solidarity and support with their compositions in other countries. So the solitary effort. Secondly, the English kindergarten attempt to get job. The discussion of any talking in economic and colony going cold out here at Yellow Dildo Ports.
Yeah. One of the questions I had, what effect are you hoping to get by including such material? And I think you sort of said that. It was a structure. You know, so I get that. But you know, the other thing, as one continues to read the book after that Rush transcript, we read on page 89 during the organ writing tradition, which you lifted from the transcript to title of poem. And then I get to the line, "For funk and rights," and I'm like, for a moment there, it's like, am I still reading a transcript? And it has an interesting effect on your consciousness when you read even a page or two of that.
It does, doesn't it?
And that's what I think poetry is trying to do. It's trying to put you in a little bit of a different state or make you think a little more. And it's effective in that way.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I really struggled over, I would think, I should include it. It's such a crazy found poem. And then I would go, no, what am I doing? Get that out of there. And then I put it back in and go, no, I should work with this way. Nah, get it out of there. So I went back and forth quite a few times. But I finally started taking just little phrases from it and using them as titles for poems. And I did that first with a couple poems that I'd already written the poem without that in mind. I thought, this will be the title. I'll lift the title from that crazy document and just attach that title to this poem I'd separately written. But then I did start writing poems further that were, spontaneously written in response to a title from that crazy document. And that's exactly what I became interested in, is the fact that in the way I've always written poetry anyhow is always to walk this fine line between the outside, the practice of the outside, material that's coming at you from out, and your own internal responses to, and that the poem is interfaced between inside and outside, and consciousness is a big, huge part of that. I've always been someone who uses slippery syntax. I don't use a lot of punctuation. Short lines and line breaks mean a lot to me. So there's always this sort of fluidity of walking a line that's not entirely dissimilar from the strange texture of that found document. So I found with the poetry, I would sort of drag consciousness away from the nonsense of the document toward a kind of sense-making and a kind of speechifying that was more direct. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I think it would get pulled back toward that odd word composition, word ordering of that particular document.
Yeah, so many things I could respond to in that. Writing spontaneously, is that your practice? Do you go and, when you write something, do you go back and fuck with it a lot afterwards?
I edit, but the moment of composition is very improvised, and I prize that improvisational experience of
the integrity of that experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't mean I don't go back and change it, but often if there's a very, if it comes out sort of whole cloth as it does sometimes, if I'm going to edit that at all, I usually need some time to get some distance from it. So it simply becomes, here's a text. No, how can I make that text better? So I'm not a first thought, best thought necessarily kind of person, but I really do prize that process, improvisational process of making the poem, you're not making the poem pure, you're chaperoning the poem's appearance on the page. That's always been front and center for me.